You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside James and Chris, my name is Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Chris is looking like he's coming halfway snazzy from a Texas Stars game. James is not mom's favorite. That's actually a lie. And I am in the kitchen as we talk about a Dallas Stars 8-3 victory over the San Jose Sharks here tonight. And I'm sure we'll talk about the game from yesterday as well. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing first off? And it's been a couple of crazy days, not just for Stars fans, but for general NHL fans, some of the highest scoring games that we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, wacky. I think they said they're at 97, and then there was a goal scored in the Kings-Ducks game. So I think we're at 98 goals in one day for the NHL tonight. That's crazy. And of course, it's just a coincidence that everyone's going on vacation after tonight.
All just a big coincidence, a big conspiracy, if you will.
Correct.
Yeah, so I didn't expect 8 goals tonight, but I did expect a Dallas Stars win here tonight, which was kind of nice to get. What's the biggest storyline for you for tonight?
Lots of goals scored. That is the storyline. I mean, the terrible first 3 minutes and then the never looking back after that is really what it came down to. They basically reset the game in their minds and they played it perfectly.
Yeah, Duchesne's another big one too. Back-to-back 2-goal games. He scored the first goal to get the Stars back on track, like James mentioned. I think it was like about a minute after, less than a minute after the Sharks scored. And then he also sets up the game winner for Mason Marchman at the end of the first period there and gets the insurance goal. So really great game by Duchesne. He has played fantastic the past two. I think, did he catch up to Roppe tonight and took back the goal scorer title for the Stars?
I believe tied. Doesn't Roppe have 22?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I should have looked that up beforehand, but he's right up neck and neck. And after we saw Roppe pass him, I didn't think Duchesne was going to take it back at any point this season, but good for him. He's played fantastic.
Yeah, he really has been, especially the last two games. I mean, he has just been a monster.
So he did not take the goals back because Roppe has 22, but Duchesne did get to 20 again. So he's got another 20 goal season under his belt. And no. But
Duchesne
he did
tied him in goals. Yeah, with tonight's goals. Yes, he made.
Okay. So this is not including tonight's totals.
It takes about an hour or two for them to update it.
Fair enough, but still. The other thing I was looking up was I was curious how many people did not get a point in tonight's game, and it was 3. And of course, the only forward that did not is Logan Stanko. That guy just cannot catch a break, man.
And even at the end of the game, he has a wide open net after the goalie turns the puck over to him, hits the post.
He's gonna be insane once he figures out his shot. I mean, it's a full mental block, but once it starts going in consistently, he's just never gonna stop.
It's like the yips. I've never seen someone get the yips in hockey really before like that, but that's what it seems like. It's like just put the puck in the net, just put the short little putt. It should be easy, and he's just making it so hard.
He just needs a practice where they literally put the puck on the red line in front of the goal and just say push it in into the net over and over and over.
There you go. Just poke tech.
Just poke it in.
I don't know. It's like that old commercial of, oh, you almost got it with the guy with the dollar bill at the end of a fishing pole. It almost seems like that for him. I mean, he's had so many just opportunities this year just to get a goal. So, anyways, guys, this is a very good time for the Dallas Stars. It's great to be a Stars fan. It's good to be a Dallas Stars player, coach. I mean, everything going into the break, and I think that's probably more than anything. We're not really thinking much about the game at this point, just like the players were probably not thinking much about the game. But it's finally the break. That is huge for the Dallas Stars in terms of getting some really, really key guys back over the next couple of weeks. Maybe LaBouche can get healed. I mean, I think he is extremely, extremely key. And we've seen in the last two games now exactly why he is so important to this team right now. Because even if you just have him, that allows you to take Dumba out of the lineup at this point. I would take him out and leave Smith in because Smith has looked okay in the last two games. He hasn't been great, but he's been better than Matt Dumba.
Yeah, and I think LaBouche is going to be fine. I mean, he was out practicing. He wasn't full participant in practice the other day, but he was practicing, so it's not keeping him off the ice. And I really think it was, more than anything, it was precautionary. And it was 2 days before a break. Why risk putting him back in if there's even a slight chance that he can re-aggravate it? Just leave him out. Let him go on vacation. Let him get 100% healthy. Bring him back, and then we'll be good to go. But yeah, losing him and having Miro out at the same time, it makes the blue line look pretty awful, and it got exposed a couple of times during this road trip.
Yeah, I mean, you lost all three of your right-handed starters from the beginning of the year, so your whole right side is just gone, and that's what the Stars have been faced with the past two, three games now.
Yep.
And this is from Big and Bright on Discord. This is my favorite comment of the night. All right. All Dallas Stars players proceed quickly to the bike flush, ice baths, and then find your custom bubble wrap suit you are to wear till you get home. Almost all defensemen will have an additional handler at home to check for stray Legos and tripping hazards. I mean, it's funny right now, especially because, you know, we got 2 weeks to try and get some people back, but there is absolutely some truth to that, because we even saw Liam Bischel tonight get cross-checked in the lower back, and he looked a little slow to get up, and I was like, oh, please, dear Lord, no. So yeah. I really think that's just another big hit takeaway from the game here tonight, is just we get rest for our defensemen more than anybody. So is there anybody in particular that has really stuck out the last two games? Because there's a couple of players you could talk about. We talked about Matt Duchene. Anybody else?
I mean, a really important one that could be even more important coming into playoff time is Liam Bischel is getting about 20 minutes a night right now. So, like, while that's not ideal and you'd rather be able to limit him a little bit more and ease him into the NHL, him getting all this experience of regular season hockey is going to be really big come playoff time, especially if he is going to be a starter round one, game one. This time is invaluable. He's going to get a lot better. And this takes away my argument of, I was saying, leave him in the AHL. He's getting over 20 minutes a night and he's still learning stuff. If he's getting 20 minutes a night in the NHL, there's absolutely no reason that you'd have to send him down. So he's learning a lot. He's playing very well and he's getting relied upon.
Yeah. And putting him with Esa Lindell is the complete right move. I mean, that is pretty genius from the coaching staff to just throw Lindell, Bischel together. That becomes your ultimate shutdown pair, because Bischel's already huge and he plays that way anyway. Yep. So you put him with someone else who plays basically the same way, and he can tell him, hey, this is bad. Hey, this is bad. You could do this better. Yada, 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 whatever. But that's the perfect mentor, is Esa Lindell. That's exactly who you want him to be.
It's what you want Bischel to be, a big, mean Esa Lindell. That would be perfect.
Absolutely perfect. And you know, it was actually kind of funny because we saw Esa out there for PP2 duties at points here tonight, which is kind of what we talked about with all the defensemen out. We don't really have another guy that's really a puck mover. And I don't think it's ironic in the slightest that when Miro goes out, Harley gets, you know, obviously power play one duties and sometimes even power play two duties. And the power play continues to be good. Another power play goal here tonight for the Dallas Stars. I think they went 1-for-2 tonight. Their power play continues to be one of the best in the NHL, and I know it's still the Sharks, but again, second night of a back-to-back, it looked weird in the game against LA yesterday, just the way that they played, and you know that they kind of, you know, pumped back a little bit tonight with special teams.
Yeah, it's definitely gotten better, and even when it was doing well and we were confused why it was doing well and they were scoring a bunch of weird goals, it's improved from there. So they've expanded on that, and they're actually setting up their offense correctly, and they're getting it to go in multiple different ways, whether it's just great shots from the wing like I begged for, or it's like tonight where you get those great deflections. And by the way, that's a perfect shot from Harley to allow it to get deflected too. That's put up in the air. He's letting it kind of float a little. He's not trying to score with that one. If that one hits the net, then it's going to be the easiest save of the Sharks netminder's life. So it's a perfect shot to allow it to get tipped.
Yeah, and really, I think that's Harley's biggest plus on the power play. His shot is made to be tipped. Every single time he's trying to get someone to tip it. And being able to fight through the first shot blocker and just give it a chance is a invaluable skill.
And at the end of the game, you see it's not just that. He can snipe it too when he wants to. I know Razor was saying that he should have had that one, but man, he got that corner. In the RVH world of the modern NHL, you kind of give that corner up and you dare the guy to hit it, and he hit that corner pretty well.
Very true. And yeah, it Vanacek shows why he's playing for the Sharks and not for, you know, a winning team. I'm not trying to be mean, but 8 goals, and some of those should not have gone in and stuff.
The third period was, that's when it was super obvious. It was it's like the first period, I didn't think it was on him really. I thought the Stars just pounded him. But after that, it was like, oh man, come on. Yeah.
They dominated the game after the first 3 minutes. The first 3 minutes. Oh, wait, we have to actually play a hockey game before we get the break off. And they're like, oh, bing. And they just, I mean, it was like, what, 16-3 at the end of the first period on shots?
Yeah, it was nuts.
Going back to my original question about 5 minutes ago, Darren kind of reading my mind. The real Dallas Maverick, Maverick Bork, is really starting to show progress. And giving Darren Smith some credit there for his comments in chat, he's been excellent, and he has very slowly made that progress. But you know what? He did the same exact thing in the AHL, so I don't know why I'm all that surprised. He's been really good lately, and in the last 2 games especially, he had a great goal in LA, and he had a great game again here tonight in San Jose.
Yeah, and I think Miro, Johnston, Stankoven have all ruined what Stars fans think of when we think of rookies. So I think what Maverick is doing is something that's more normal. Like, of course, he lit up the AHL. He was maybe the best player in the AHL last year. And
he was the MVP.
You expect him to do the exact same thing in the NHL, but it's a different game. It's a different pace, and he's had to grow accustomed to it, and give him credit, he absolutely has. And thanks to the opportunity that the injuries have given him, he's been able to play in a more comfortable role in this lineup, playing up higher in a more goal scoring position. And he's taken full advantage of it. And he's looked fantastic recently. If he can get going and he can carry this on through the playoffs, which is very difficult, especially for a rookie, as we've seen in the past, he could be a huge part of this team going deep in the playoffs.
Yeah. And you really nailed that point that it's perfectly lined up. His scoring recently is lined up with March when Marchment about went out. He's started consistently scoring since January 7th, pretty much. So he is caught up to the speed of the game, and he's putting himself in great spaces to score goals.
So Chris, let me ask you this, since you see you obviously saw it tonight too. Is it really that big of a difference, the speed between the AHL and the NHL?
Yeah, it's noticeable. I mean, you look at the Texas Stars, and it's not full of a bunch of guys that you can look at and see, yeah, that's going to be an NHL guy. When you see a guy in the AHL that's like really high prospect and is like dancing on the edge of getting called up due to skill and not just injury, he's pretty noticeable and pretty obvious on the ice. I mean, tonight, for example, we saw Anthony Seau for Rockford in the game. And you look at that guy, and it's like, he doesn't belong here. That's an NHL player. And he got 4 points over on the weekend.
That's crazy. How old is he now? Is he 29, 30?
I don't remember, but he was very noticeable on the ice.
Right. Okay, and chat is just kind of helping me out with my game outline here tonight. Is I wanted to hit kind of go back to this. Should Harley, and this is again Darren with a really good point, or a really good question, I guess. Should Harley be PP1 even when Miro is healthy? And yes. I think for the resounding answer is yes from Stars fans all across the globe.
And it's just because of the regression, I feel like, that Miro's offense has had this year. I mean, his defense is still elite. He's been certainly locked down. He gets out of his zone super easily, and you can still see his skating. But for whatever reason, the offensive production has just not been the same. It's not like that 70-point season he got, and we all thought, all right, here comes the Norris. Next couple seasons, he's going to crack a big season. And it just hasn't happened. I'm not really sure what it is that dropped off on his offense. Maybe it's just he's being forced to focus on defense because of how big of a role he has. But I think it's more important to this team in the future, maybe not this year, but it's important for him to be a part of the offense. But I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I mean, once he comes back, he might get a better chance to do it too, because with everyone healthy, he won't have to play 26 minutes a night. I mean, we're seeing CC right now playing 24. Now, he's not going to do that normally. You're probably going to see him more 18, 19. But past two games, he's played 24 minutes a night. So if when Miro comes back and you see him drop back into more 24-minute range, that's maybe when you can see him try to waste some of that extra energy in the offensive zone.
And I guess the other question is well, it's not really a question. It's more of a statement, I guess, is it's not really a slight to Miro, you know, to say to take him off the power play. It's just because he's so reliably defensively on. It's the same thing that we talk about with Esa. Esa's okay offensively. Every once in a while, he puts in a goal, even on the power play. He's the only Dallas Stars defenseman that has a power play goal this season. And I know it's not really a quote unquote power play goal. There was like 2 seconds left. But the thing is that if you take those minutes away from Miro, that allows him to be way more effective with the other minutes that he gets. And if you still want to play him 25 minutes, then great, play him 25 minutes and put him out there more often against the top players for the other teams. And then you should maybe start playing him on the penalty kill more often.
Miro should be more than just another Esa Lindell, though. He has the skills to be one of the best offensive defensemen in the NHL, and he just hasn't been able to execute on it. So I'll disagree with you a little bit there. I will give him a little bit of slight, I guess, as you said, because he should be scoring more. He should be producing more, both on the power play and 5-on-5. He should be doing that coast-to-coast stuff he did when he was early in his career here.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Have you played Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? You better get on it. It's Super Bowl 59, the last time to play NFL Pick 6 this season. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Play for better payouts on Pick 6. It's super easy to get started. Select two or more players, choose if they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. And DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers play $5 to get $59 in Pick 6 credits. Win more cash on Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5 and get $59 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. All right, let's just keep going back to the chat because chat's giving me more and more ideas than anything I had. Martin, any thoughts on a line of lefties? Duchesne, Marchment, Granlund. Surprised Pete DeBoer put them together despite Duchesne and Granlund prior chemistry, a.k.a. their time in Ottawa together. Pete usually likes a right-hander for variety. Any surprise on that particular move by Pete DeBoer tonight?
Yeah, he likes having the different hands, especially for face-off. That way you can have a guy on the strong side no matter which dot you're on. I guess it's a little surprising, but he wants to play into that chemistry more. I mean, Duchesne and Marchment obviously have chemistry, and then Duchesne has played with Granlund before in Nashville. So he wants to get Granlund going quickly and not have him waiting around too long to get his first goal as a star. So I think it's a really good idea to have those three together, despite them all being the same hand.
Yeah, you're also looking at that potentially is a line for the first round of the playoffs, because Sagan's supposed to be back for the playoffs, but that doesn't mean he's going to be back for sure. First round. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm.
So you're finding someone else who can fit on that line, and Granlund fits on that line perfectly. And it took him like half a game to kind of figure it out, and they're just on a roll now.
I think Granlund's been really good with whoever he's really played with. I mean, you know, Chris, you know, more power to you and more kudos to you for recognizing him and seeing how well he would fit in a Stars lineup. I mean, he's legitimately looked good anywhere that he's played.
Yeah.
I mean, he's passed off the puck to Stankoven, and Stankoven got a goal there. He's been a good addition to the second line, the third line, and he got that opportunity when Maverick Bork was out for a couple games because of that nasty looking cut he had. And I mean, you can't really ask for much from a guy who, you know, he's 32. He's a veteran of the league. He was the top guy basically in San Jose, you know, veteran wise, especially, I would say. And he's fit in with the Stars really well.
Yeah, he already played like a Dallas Star even when he was on San Jose. I mean, it's a two-way game. He's good in every single situation, like you said. So I think it's just it's a really solid fit. It's not the home run swing, but I mean, you look at that guy. He's available. He's relatively cheap, and he already plays like a Dallas Star.
There is one question I want to ask both of you guys about that's not about the game. Anything else about the game here tonight specifically that y'all want to mention?
No, I'm good.
No? Okay. I was already thinking about it, but Mato over here. And Chris, I'd seen your comments on social media. I think it was on Facebook somewhere. Josh Sanders actually put up on the, well, what is it called now? The Jim Nill mustache.
Yeah, Jim Nill's mustache fan club and hockey talk on Facebook.
It's gone through many names the last several years. Mato mentioning Noah Dobson available in New York. This is extremely interesting for a multitudinous of reasons. First off, the guy is 25. Right, he is a right-handed defenseman. He is definitely a puck-moving defenseman. The guy has mostly been a positive player, not this year. I think he was minus 8 this year so far.
Correct.
But last year he was plus 12. The year before that he was plus 4. And the biggest thing about him is that he's 20th in the NHL right now in terms of average time on ice with 24 minutes and 1 second. And yes, I looked all of this stuff up during the game. This is a trade I would absolutely consider moving Logan Stankoven or Maverick Bork for. And God forbid I say that on the internet or whatever. But this is a number one defenseman in the Islanders. Now, the second thing about this that doesn't make any sense is, why? It seems bizarre to me why you would trade a player like this who is just getting into his prime, I would say. He's almost to his prime. And he only makes, what, $5 million against the cap? $4 million?
Four right now, but he's probably due for a pretty big raise.
And that's the only thing I can think of that would be a reason why he would be traded, because he will be a restricted free agent after this season. Is this a trade target for the Dallas Stars? Because, again, this seems like a slam dunk. in terms of, you know, you've got the players to be able to trade for him. But if you trade for him, then you're also assuming that you're not going to get anything else during the offseason, and he's probably going to take up all of that extra cap space that the Stars are going to get just with the cap going up. So let me get y'all's thoughts on Noah Dobson being a Star.
He absolutely is a trade target for Dallas, but he's also a trade target for everybody. He's a right-handed defenseman who eats a ton of minutes. He's going to be expensive. I would be willing to give up Maverick for him if he resigns. That's with the caveat that he does sign an extension with Dallas. But the problem is I would be utterly befuddled if Nil gives up either Stankoven or Maverick or Bischel. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think those are untouchables as far as Jim Nil is concerned. And I don't think that's an incorrect outlook for him to have. I mean, he's built those guys from the ground up, developed them all the way through, and he turned them into the type of players that he wants them to be. And they're already showing that they can be great players. These are both rookies. I mean, I know Stankoven, it's hard for us to think of him that way. He still really is. He's a really young player, and he's already playing great. He has such a great motor. He's so obvious every single game that he plays in. If he can figure out this goal scoring situation, he can blow up in the league like he did when he first came in last season. So these are not just top tier prospects. These are as high a top tier as you can get for a prospect in both Bork and Stankoven. So I would be shocked if he gives them up. And I don't think the Islanders are going to take anything less. I mean, unless this is a Calgary situation where they see one of our depth AHL players and they just like him the way they liked Grushnikov, I just don't see it happening. I don't think the Stars have enough that they're willing to part with to make that trade happen.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's really like eye candy is he is the same age as Miro Heiskanen right now. I mean, that they are at the same points in their career. Last year, he had 70 points. Noah Dobson did. And that would be insane. So if in terms of the Stars talking about trying to find someone who can play on the right side with Miro Heiskanen, which they've talked about since Miro Heiskanen has been on this team, that's pretty much a perfect fit. But what he's going to cost is really what it comes down to. And he's going to cost a ton.
I mean, it starts with Maverick Bork or Logan Stankoven, right? I don't think the Stars want to sacrifice Liam Bischel for this. I do think because of the extra players that they have on the offensive side of the puck, they've still got young guys. I mean, to a certain extent, Jason Robertson is still young, and he's still on the young side. I mean, you still got Wyatt Johnston, and then you would still keep either or of Maverick Bork or Logan Stankoven for the long term. So I know that what y'all are thinking about this, and you know, Jim Nell saying he wouldn't be willing to give up one of those players, but man, this looks like a really obvious thing where you have a surplus of one side, and you need a lot more on the other side and the back end. And especially with Noah Dobson being only 25, and like you said, James, same age as Miro Heiskanen. I mean, again, another guy who can eat up minutes, and it's not Seth Jones. And like, it just makes so much sense for us as Stars fans, but it also makes a whole lot of sense for basically any other contending team. The difference is, the Stars have the assets in terms of young guys, which is what a lot of people are assuming that the Islanders want in return. The only thing that they don't have right now is like a first round pick or a second round pick. And the picks that they would probably be trading away would be next year's picks rather than this year's. Cause I think they only have a second round this year in terms of, you know, depth in the draft for this year. So you have to look at it. I don't want to either because I love both of those players too, Maverick and Stankoven. This just makes too much sense. Yeah. I mean, I would hate if Nil didn't at least go and experiment and see what they were looking for?
He's definitely going to ask. I'm just telling you, after what he said the other day, I think those three are untouchables.
But this is a very different situation for me. This is if you can get a guy who is going to stay for the long term, this is a trade that will make your team better without hurting your team too much short term or long term. That's just my personal opinion.
If this was an off-season trade, I could see that happening a lot easier. But the fact that it's so close to playoff time already and this team has gelled so well, and especially Maverick Bork has gotten hot lately, I just don't see it. I don't see how you mess with the chemistry of the team. I don't see how you get rid of a player that you're so high on in both Stankoven and Bork. It's just at this time of the year, it seems too risky to do that. I agree. Dobson's a player that can make the Stars fantastic over the next 8 years, if that's the kind of contract you can get him on. But for right now, we can win cups now. So it's really scary to try and make a big foundation shifting move like that when you're in your window.
I see what you're saying by like foundation shaking trade, but when you're talking about the defensive end of this team, that is something that has been moving for the past 4 years. It feels like there's always someone moving in and out of that right spot. And this could be the permanent solution, not just like this year go for cup solution. This could be the best solution for this team.
And this is also not Nils Lundqvist as well. No offense to Nils Lundqvist. We traded a first round pick for him. And we all said when we first got him is, this guy could develop into someone that could play with Miro Heiskanen. And I would say it's still very unlikely at this point, but Noah Dobson is very much proven.
Yeah, he's already a top
24 character. Minutes a night. And you know, how he plays such a defensive stalwart way in the Islander system. It's ridiculous. I don't know. Go ahead.
I'm still somewhat agreeing with y'all. I would be willing to give up Bork in a first round pick in next year's draft for him. I'm just telling you, I don't think Nil's going to do that. I would be shocked. I'd put money on it that Nil would not trade any of our top three prospects for him.
And honestly, I think that's probably low on the asking point for Dobson. Bork in a first, that's probably low end.
I think it probably is low.
That's fair. And hey, we'll give you Dumba on top of it.
Especially a developing team. A developing team can make a huge offer to the Islanders, like a team that's right there on the bubble, or even like a team like Chicago, who's not on the bubble but is already gathering players to get better. I mean, I can see a crazy trade happening for him.
Okay, I just wanted to bring it up because I know we're probably
we're not going to get to talk to Wednesday about it. So
let's go ahead and talk about it now. All right, biggest winner, biggest loser for the game here tonight, and then we'll give a couple more quick updates. Who have you got tonight?
Biggest winner is Matt Duchene. Biggest winner of the road trip is Matt Duchene. That guy was fantastic. Even when he wasn't scoring, he was controlling the play. He was pushing his lines offensive attack, and he was just fantastic. It's really awesome to have a guy like that for only $3 million.
Yeah, James? Biggest winner, I'll give it to Thomas Harley. I mean, he has been a workhorse the past three games, and he's had some lapses where it's been like, that was a weird play, but it's only been like two or three, and he's playing as our number one defenseman right now. And I feel like he's doing a pretty good job in the absence of Miro Heiskanen.
He gets 23-24 tonight and that's been one of his lowest time break. On ice games. Yeah, he got to take a break tonight.
And that's because we went up by six goals.
Right, exactly. And then he actually had less shifts than Liam Bischel did. Liam Bischel had 27 shifts and Harley only had 22. I'll give mine to Casey DeSmith because, you know, I know there's a lot of players that had great offensive nights tonight, but, you know, he didn't get a whole lot of run support, especially early in the year, and for whatever reason. I guess the Stars made up for it here tonight. They definitely did. But he's been a very good quality backup for several months now, many months now, I guess you could say. Anytime he's come in, he's always given the Stars a chance to win. He does it again here tonight. And he wasn't like overly taxed in the first period after the two goals.
He was also sub 900, so it wasn't great.
Every win that we've had the past like 2 weeks has been sub 900 on save percentage.
Well, and it's helped to say it's helped that the Stars have had a lot of offense in the last, again, post Christmas, they've been one of the best teams offensively. So he'll be my pick for biggest winner tonight. Who's your biggest loser?
Biggest loser is Brendan Smith. He's a minus one. We scored 8 goals. How did you do that?
That's impressive.
And then on the flip side, Bischel had 2 assists, but yeah, he's a plus 4 on the night tonight. He was on the ice for 4 of the goals. Or at least it ended up that way. I don't even think anybody was plus 3. Yeah, nobody was plus 3, yet Bischel was plus 4. James, who's your biggest loser?
I'm going to give mine to Cody Ceci. He had a rough last 2 games. There's a reason why he's not a top pairing defenseman on any good team. He looked great when he was in that second pairing spot, but he is definitely not that top caliber, which we knew, but yeah. And we're asking him to be. So it's a little unfair, but he got victimized on his first shift 2 nights in a row.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think we saw the real Cody Ceci the past 2 games. Like, that's what we expected. But he's playing solid, playing in an elevated role. So we got to give him credit for that, too.
He was the addition to the trade, that makes any sense. It was always Granlund. Like, I think that's what Jim Neal wanted from the beginning. And he was just like, you know what? We're having a lot of problems on the defensive side. Give me CC2 and I'll throw you a bone. I'll give you a 4th for a conditional 3rd or whatever. So he will be a very good 5-6 when Dumba does not have to be in the lineup anymore and when the Stars get healthier. And, you know, fingers crossed that Miro will be ready for the playoffs and that Lyubushkin will not be out for a long period of time either. So for me, the biggest loser is just the Sharks in general. They like quite literally disappeared after the first 3 minutes of the first period. They were playing a very specific style, getting the puck deep down into the zone for the first 3 minutes. And then after the Stars scored 1 goal, that was it. Like, we
looked like the worst team in the NHL.
That was a perfect game plan for 3 minutes and it just disappeared. So it wasn't like one player. It was like the whole team. Yeah. So
I don't know if I've ever seen a team play for only 3 minutes of a game. I mean, it's quite impressive.
So that's just my biggest loser. Maybe just the way that the Sharks played is the biggest loser. So, okay, guys, anything else?
Nope.
Well, it's going to be a while before we get a chance to talk to you guys about a Dallas Stars game. Of course, we'll be with you guys to talk about the Stars for the next 2 Wednesdays at 9:30. So check those out. We're also going to be doing some watch alongs at some point for some of the 4 Nations faceoffs. We haven't quite figured out which ones yet, but I'm sure we'll figure that out here as soon as we get off with this recording. And yeah, it's been fun. I mean, 2/3 of the way through, we come back after 2 weeks off, and it's 3 games in 4 days. Just nutso. Straight off the bat, just like nothing ever happened. Just straight into it. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be fun, and we're ready for the playoffs already, it feels like. At least I'm fully ready for the playoffs. Thank you guys so much for following along with us live here tonight. There's even more after. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Promo code is THPN. If you're listening on the audio side, please consider leaving us a 5-star review wherever that may be. If you're on YouTube, please click like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so that you never miss an episode here on YouTube. Along with Chris and along with James, my name's Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening. Whenever you guys are listening, Chris, can you do us a favor and take us out?
GG boys.